Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Well, I believe we'll get to someone who crunches the numbers, can help us, point us in the right direction, give us a shot, give us some excitement come the weekend. Who's going to win the U.S. Open? Top 10, top 20, all that kind of good stuff. It's always fun to talk to Jason Sobel of the Action Network. Jason, how you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. Before we get into picks and all that kind of stuff, what is at a premium on this golf course? We know the U.S. Open, you got to hit the fairways, you got to hit the greens, all that kind of stuff, because it's harder. But what else? What is something you look at that is particular to Torrey Pines?
Okay, so to summarize what a lot of the players have said this week, it's basically you want to keep in the fairways, but length is obviously a major advantage, and ball striking is so important around this golf course, and chipping is really big, and you got to make putts, and so it's a player that can do all of those things. I joke. That's sort of what we hear. You put together quotes from every player, and what you hear before every major championship is, well, you got to do everything really well, and that's true. But the one thing I took away from today, in fact, we had Brendan Steele, a friend of mine, on our SiriusXM radio show today, and he said the rough is super thick around the greens. Not as thick on the sides of the fairways, but around the greens, it's really thick. So you've got to be a really good wedge player around the greens. So I look at guys. In fact, I was just now looking at the stats, scrambling from the rough on the PGA Tour's website to look at which players are able to get up and down from the rough more often than not.
And?
Louis Oosthuizen's name is right up there. Paul Peterson's name is right up there. Xander Schauffele isn't too far down the list. Patrick Reed is up there. Brian Harmon is a guy that is one of the best scramblers around. So there's a few names for you.
Let me ask you about Schauffele, because he's a guy I'll probably put something on, because I always do in the majors. He always gives me at least some good viewing over the weekend, because he's usually in it. Unfortunately, he falls short. He's one of those guys that, you know, like in the Masters, gets behind, makes a run, and then falls short, or has it, and then all of a sudden he misses a couple putts. What do you think about him? That's his hometown, too. I don't know if that makes a difference. I'm just assuming if you grew up there, you played it. I don't know how much difference that makes, but is Schauffele a guy you look at and say, this is the time? I can't imagine you get a lot of value top 10, because he's always in the top 10 in majors, but what do you think about him?
Spoke with him yesterday, and he said that it's taken him some time to figure out how to play in his hometown in front of friends and family. Didn't play well at the Farmers Insurance Open the first four or five times he was in the field. Finally, this year, finishing a share of second place. Wasn't quite in it. Patrick Reed, if you remember, was kind of running away with it in that controversial weekend there. But Xander was still up there, finished in second place. And so he said he kind of figured out, you know, getting rid of the pressure and all the extra additional, you know, even if it's internal stuff that's on him during a week in his hometown. So I think that's going to help him this week. You look at his record, it's been really good. Four U.S. Open starts, four top six finishes. Nobody has done that, I believe, since my podcast partner, Justin Ray, a great researcher here in golf, said Bobby Jones is the last and only other player to have accomplished that feat. So Xander in pretty good company. I like him this week. He's not right at the top of my list, but I don't think it would surprise anybody if he goes out and wins this golf tournament.
Mm-hmm. Noda Begay was with us yesterday, and he kind of likes Rory. What do you think of Rory's chances in this tournament?
I'm going to go against Noda, which is probably a bad idea for me, but I'm starting to think the more I see from Rory that Quail Hollow victory was really an outlier, and it makes it all the more impressive the fact that he was able to play his best golf in the middle of some swing changes, in the middle of trying to improve his game and do some things a little bit differently, and I don't think that was necessarily a step in the right direction toward more success. in the very near future. I think long term, still very bullish on Rory. I think we all are, but in the short term, I just don't know that he's really turned his game around as much as that victory might have suggested. So I don't love Rory this week, quite honestly.
So the names that casual or non-golf fans know, I'll leave the two obvious Koepka and DeChambeau out for a second. But Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, how are you feeling about both of those guys, and particularly Dustin Johnson? Is it fair to say that his form is not what it needs to be to really do damage in this Open?
It hasn't been. I was a little more impressed by the T10 finish, the Palmetto Championship, granted against an inferior field last week on a course that doesn't resemble this one whatsoever. But DJ is a guy that over the course of his career, he just shows up whenever he wants to show up. He doesn't necessarily need it. There are guys I call momentum guys that sort of need to build up to some big results. They finish in 30th, then you get 20th, then a 15th, then a 7th, then a 2nd, and then all of a sudden they win. DJ doesn't need that. DJ has shown in the past that he can have absolutely nothing for a month and all of a sudden turn it on and play his best golf. Jordan Spieth, I think, is very interesting here. Hasn't played the Farmers Insurance Open in a little while, in a few years, and didn't have a great record here. I just don't see Jordan as a great West Coast kind of player. I know he's had some success over on this side of the country, but I still don't love Jordan Spieth this week. I just think that you either got to be one or the other this week. You either got to be a big, strong, powerful player who can hit it a long way, and if you're in the rough, you got the strength and the muscle to get yourself extricated from that rough, or you've got to be a guy that hits a lot of fairways. And Jordan Spieth is neither one of those. And so for that reason, I just don't love his chances this week.
And so to follow up there, so big, strong guys who can hit it out of the rough, I'm thinking of two in particular, John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously two of the top names on the board this week, two of my favorite players on the board. I don't think you can find too many people out there who are making the office pool picks, who are playing fantasy, who are betting on this event, who aren't intrigued by John Rahm and Brooks Koepka. And I can understand if you don't want to necessarily chase their numbers, but yeah, they each have a great chance of winning this thing. John Rahm is the favorite this week for a couple of reasons. One is great record at Torrey Pines. We saw how he was playing before the positive COVID test at the Memorial a couple of weeks ago. Had a 6-shot lead through 54 holes. And as far as Koepka, look, the guy just shows up for major championships. He just flips the switch, and we've seen it time and time again now. I keep waiting for it to not happen, but at some point, we just got to take it for what it is, and he just gets to a major and figures it out and goes and plays his best golf. So there's a reason why they are two of the biggest favorites on the board right now.
Well, if you're talking about somebody who just bombs the ball down the fairway, DeChambeau is the guy. And if the rough isn't as bad in the fairways as it is around the greens, then that would lead me to believe he'll have maybe the same success he had last year, where you just hit it as far as you can. And if you happen to get in the rough, at least you'll be close enough to the green to get it out of the rough and onto the green. And then you just try to get a par from there, because that's basically what U.S. Opens are all about. Finding a way to get your pars, limit damage, and then mixing a few birdies here and there, and you're good to go. Where do you see him? Because what you say, if you're a strong guy and you can get out, then maybe he's the guy that's right there too.
I don't think the course necessarily doesn't suit his game. I just don't think that he's in great form right now. I think he's searching for some things. He's a noted tinkerer. He is always trying to work on his game. He's always putting new clubs in the bag, trying to figure things out. And I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing with Brooks, I think Brooks can kind of brush it off a lot easier than Bryson can. I think Brooks can go, you know what? Yeah, okay, I got this funny little social media beef with Bryson. Everyone's making a big deal about it. And I think Brooks could go, yeah, whatever, and go out and play some good golf. I think it's going to affect and impact Bryson just a little bit more. So that's not to say that he can't play some solid golf while this whole thing is going on, but I just think it might have a little bit more of an impact on him than on Brooks.
Got it.
Chase, you ever played Torrey?
Long time ago. I've been here a million times, but I've only played it once. It was probably 15, 18 years ago.
The middle of the course seems real hard, like 10, 11, 12, 13. But I want to ask you about two golfers. One, I love Morikawa's game. Obviously, we saw him have success at the PGA Championship not that long ago, and he's 22-1 here. What do you think of Morikawa? And then what do you think of the talk of Charlie Hoffman, who's a San Diego guy and knows this course and has played a lot of competitive rounds? How much is Torrey as far as course knowledge, and how much of a chance do you give Hoffman of going maybe top 10 or top 20?
I like both of those guys. Morikawa, I interviewed yesterday after his press conference, and I asked him about the state of his game. And, you know, guys will sometimes say, and we do this thing on our show called press conference interpretations, where, you know, guys will say, I'm hitting it great right now. Another guy will say, I'm hitting it great right now. And those are the same words that mean completely different things. You've got to put some sort of tone and context to it. Well, I spoke with Colin Morikawa yesterday, and he goes, man, I'm hitting it great right now. I tell you, there was not a hesitation. There was not a question mark. There was not a voice inflection. He told me, I got here on Monday, and I'm sitting there, like, looking at my watch, like, why can't it be Thursday already? I'm hitting it so good. I'm waiting for this thing to start. I can't wait. I'm so ready for this thing to get going. So I like Morikawa a lot this week. And, yeah, I'm with you on the Charlie Hoffman call. He really knows the course as well as anybody. But more importantly, he's been on his game. He's been one of the best ball strikers on the PGA Tour over the last 2 or 3 months. So that combination, I think, is going to be a nice one for him this week. I got him top 10.
You know, one guy we didn't even mention that's kind of playing some pretty good golf is Patrick Cantlay. And I'm wondering where you have him. I don't know enough about him, but he's a guy that kind of gets overlooked a little bit when you're talking about some really good golfers, some good young golfers. Where does he figure into this mix?
Yeah, I've got him. You guys know I rank the field at actionnetwork.com and the Action Network app before every major championship. And I've got Cantlay, I believe he wound up somewhere in the 14 to 15 range. You know, one of these guys, I like him. I don't love him. Can I see him winning? Sure. Am I going to put money on him? Probably not. So, you know, he's kind of one of those guys. He won 2 weeks ago. He's a tremendous player. He's going to win a major championship at some point. Could it happen this week? Sure. Do I like him more than I like some other players? No, not really. But, again, I mean, there are so many guys right there. And, honestly, you could take the top 20, top 30 in the world and kind of, you know, just throw darts and pick them out of a hat. And I wouldn't be surprised by any kind of combination of it.
Give us a fly. You know what? We didn't even talk about the damn PGA champion. Like, no one. It's so funny because no one expects him. Like, Phil, he's not going
to
do it again.
50-1.
Yeah, 50-1. Does he have a chance here? I mean, no one thought he had a chance last time. But, man, if he went back-to-back, that would be something. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't know that anybody thinks he's going to do it. Do you think he's going to do it?
I don't, but I keep hearing everyone saying no one thinks Phil's going to do it again. And then I look at the sports books, which show Phil right near the top as far as the handle percentages, right near the top as far as the ticket percentages. So somebody out there thinks Phil's going to win this thing, or at least a lot of people are betting with their hearts over their heads. And they're just
maybe
saying,
it's
hey,
Phil.
It might be Phil. And that might be possible. And I tell you what, guys, if it is Phil, then we should all be tailing that bet because he told me after the PGA, 5 minutes after he won the PGA, I went up and congratulated him, and he said, man, I hope you had some action on me. I hope I won you some money this week, which was fantastic, the fact that he's thinking about that in the moment. So I would love to see it. It would be one of the greatest stories, not only in golf, but in all of sports that we've seen in recent years. I don't think it's quite as good as Tiger winning the 2019 Masters a couple of years ago, but it's at least in the same neighborhood. We can at least talk about it in the same sort of vein. But I don't think it's going to happen this week. I've got Phil for a top 40 this week. That's about as low as I'll go as far as props.
Got it.
Do you have a wild sleeper, and you're there? So give us the rundown. I've heard the talk that Tiger would NBC wanted Tiger to be an analyst on the coverage, and he said thanks, but no thanks. Any talk or speculation as to what they would have paid him for that?
I don't know what. How much can you pay to get Tiger? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. What's he worth?
What's he worth to you? Because everyone is going to go watch if Tiger is actually doing analysis and sitting in the booth. And secondly, what's Tiger's price? I have no idea. I'm intrigued by that. I would love to know the number to get Tiger in there. But
what would you guess? You're a smart guy. You said odds. What would you guess the price tag was for Tiger?
I don't think it's the same sort of flat fee rate, and I'm just kind of thinking out loud off the top of my head right now, but I don't think it's the same kind of rate that you'd say to, you know, any other type of player who just does some analysis work for the week. It's there's got to be some other things. Got to be some foundation benefits in there and some other things and some I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine type of backroom negotiations that, and I'm not saying any sort of, you know, illicit stuff. I'm not saying anything that is against any sort of rule. I'm just saying it's not just
a creative
money.
A creative deal.
Yes. It's not just, hey, Tiger, here's a check. Come talk in the booth for us for 4 days. I don't think that would happen.
Talking to Jason Sobel, the Action Network. All right, before we let you go, give us your one value play. Like, whether it wins or loses, you just think the line is out of whack. And you could, even if your money goes down the toilet, you could rest good at night knowing that you got great value.
I've got a bunch of them. Probably my favorite on the board is Jason Kokrak, who's still being priced as if he's a pretty good PGA Tour player. Well, that pretty good PGA Tour player has won twice on the tour already this season, including at Colonial just a few weeks ago. Big, strong guy, fits the profile of what we've seen from recent recent U.S. Open champions. So I love him at anywhere from 55 to 65 to 1. But when you talk about value, also think there's a lot of value on Paul Casey, on Justin Rose, on Gary Woodland, and on Mark Leishman. Those are guys that I really like this week.
I got to find a way to bet parlays in golf. I haven't figured that one out yet. I don't know how you
matchup
do that
parlays.
One. Ah, there you see. Look at you. That's why we come to Jason Sobel, the Action Network.
Yeah.
Matchup parlays, fantastic. Hey, Jason, best of luck. Enjoy the tournament, and we always enjoy having you on. And chill, and tell that loser Chad Millman we said hi. Okay.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank
you. Have a good one. Take it easy, Jason.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.